Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Enter the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teaching. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey, and thank you for joining us today for RAM Radio Live, the webcast. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 admonishes us to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account of the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and with reverence. Here from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, your host, Pastor John, RAM Radio, the Biblical Alternative. And I'm so glad that you can meet with us as we take a little time and go through the blessed Word of God today. Remember this saying, in a world of professing Christians, the true believer must always classify himself or herself as those particular individuals who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. This divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. Into the Word speaks to these particular absolutes. We, as any other true ministry, must look at God's Word, the Bible, the Hagias Biblos, the Scriptures, as the highest standard that directs our lives. We cannot attempt to minister to others. In other words, you can't tell anybody about nothing if you don't know nothing yourself, unless we define who we are, not by what our bishops say, what the pastor says, what the church denomination says, but by what the Bible says. Well, the only way that we can do that is as we stay in the Word. Now, I'm going to talk about today finding Christ in me, because during difficult times of crises, it is very difficult for us to find Christ in us. What I'm trying to say is that when times get rough, usually the tough get going when the going gets rough or when the going gets tough. Where do you find Christ in all that? I believe that the problem with many today in defining their faith is that they cannot find Jesus Christ deep down within themselves in times of crises. The economic crisis that's hitting our country, we had to see it coming on the horizon. God is judging America. America has left God. America has walked off and left God, so therefore what is left for America? The judgment of God comes on America. So the inevitable question that we find ourselves asking is, where is Jesus Christ in all of this? Does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound like the friends that you've been talking to lately? Sure it does. So many American professing Christians in different times can't seem to know just how and where they might find that Jesus these days that they said that they believed in 20 and 30 and maybe 40 years ago. Where is he, they say? Where has he? He hasn't come to me. I haven't heard from him. I need to hear from the Lord. Well, my discussion today will center on that one lone question. Why can't many professing Christians define Christ in their lives these days? Why is it difficult? Why are they flipping out? Why are they going over the edge? Why are they contemplating maybe for the first time that, well, maybe there is something else to other religions. Maybe God is working in the Muslim faith. Maybe the new president-elect, Barack Obama, is right with his inclusivism. Maybe this Christian, this diehard holding to the good old B-I-B-L-E has become outmoded, outdated, and stuff like that. Well, are there things going on in our lives? This is what I'm asking. Are there things going on in your life that makes the claim of Christ difficult for you right now? Is it difficult for you to hold up that old, good old blood-stained banner? Has something taken him away from you lately to the degree that it's getting kind of difficult to discover who he is in the first place. That's what I'm saying. Come on now, Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Come on, I don't know the man. Can he really be who he say he is? Can it be said that Jesus is just it's just my imagination? What's it doing, brother? I'm telling you, it's running away with me. It's just my imagination. Hey, running away with me. Is that who Jesus is to you? Some abstract mental personality that we've never quite made contact with? We cannot make contact with him because our bank accounts are exasperated, because we may be losing our homes, because we've lost our job with General Motors. We can't put no more cornflakes on the table for the kids. We got to move back in with grandma since her house is paid for, but it's too old and I can't flash my stuff. Is that the way it is? Is it having or looking for some new kind of feeling of some sort, but that feeling is not working like it was when you was in church years ago, you know, with all them people sitting around talking about, give me my blessing, make me a blessing, create a blessing, creating abstract in a real world. All that stuff is turned topsy-turvy upside down because you've given yourself to foolishness in the first place. Are people the factor in your life, or is Christ the factor in your life? That's what I'm asking in this hour. Who is the factor? Who's that? What's the thing that makes it work for you? In other words, have we escaped the reality of the living Savior for the assisting saint? Because I think that that's what the most of our lives are all about. The living Savior syndrome is gone because, you know, we can put our trust in the economy, other things, you know, other things that make it work, because, you know, we're not feeling very well about all this Jesus stuff. How do we maintain this relationship with Jesus Christ? If it's a vital relationship between he and I and he and you, how do we maintain it? How do we keep it strengthened? How do we keep that relationship with Jesus a tight, binding thing? That's what I want to talk about during this hour. Again, let me take you to the subject matter, finding Christ in me during times of crises. That's what we're talking about. How do we find him? Now, you got your Bible, right? You got to have your Bible when you follow along with Pastor John, because if you do not have your Bible, you will not be able to keep up with me. I'm going to read the verse first and see if you can find it. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. Oh, 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 3. Where do you find Christ? Look what the Word of God says in 2 Chronicles. Nevertheless, good things are found in you. If Christ is in you, the good is in you. This is not a highfalutin, just your imagination running away with you. Christ has been in me for so many years, it would be ridiculous for me to even, I mean, as I just sat down and contemplate these things. All right, when crises comes in my life, let me tell you something. You guys remember a number of months ago when I had my house up for sale and I was going to sell my house and I was going to give me a trailer home? Well, what do you call it? A mobile home? What? Not a home on wheels, but I was going to move in a mobile park. And my children were, oh, Daddy, what are you going to listen, can I really be real with you? Do you know what that was about a year and a half ago when I was going to sell my house? And I should have taken the $25,000 cut because the market value was a particular deal. But my real estate agent said, you can sell the house if you take a cut. I said, I'm not going to cut this thing $25,000. Should have done it because I would have been in my mobile home and I would have been out of here. No, I'm not going through the financial crisis right now because God, in a supernatural way, has provided for me. And God always does that. And so I'm not sure whether he wanted me to move in the first place, but I sensed that something was coming and I was going to sell my house and just get me something and pay for it and just lease the land that the piece of junk, because that's all I see it was sitting on, because the piece of junk was just going to be a housing place for all this equipment so that I can do what I'm doing for you people out there. See, that's all I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm in debt up the yin-yang, but that's all right, because you know what? I'm going to leave here and leave all this stuff in debt anyhow. The house isn't paid for. I'm struggling to make it, just like many of you are struggling. But listen to me. I'm saying that nevertheless, good is found in me. I don't have to look far. Christ is in me. That is the hope of glory. Why are you having this difficult time finding Christ in you? Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of God and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." Look what Ezra did. There had to be a heart preparation in order for him to let God's word come out of him to teach other people. You want to find Christ? Is your heart prepared enough to find Christ in you? That's where he is. He's supposed to be living in you, guiding the way you feel about life, how you're going to handle the crises set ahead of you. Look at Psalms chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear." See, God is the one that prepares your heart to hear from God. Where's the Christ? He is in your heart. Now, I didn't say he was in that muscle that pumps blood all throughout your body. I think about it every morning when I get up. And I think about it simply because when I get up in the morning, my heart is pumping and is, you know, and I got to get this old body going. And it takes just a little bit more every day to keep it going, because the older I get, the body is saying, you know, "I'm getting tired of the rigors of this life. I got to go to the supermarket today and pick up a few important things for the house around here, because if I don't, a dirt's going to creep in on me and I'm going to be suffocated by dust and wind and everything else. I need more fruit juice to drink to keep my throat clear when I do a webcast. You know how it is. I got to get those things on the outside, but where is Christ? He's in my heart. He is in my heart. I look further and I look at Psalms, and let's first look at Psalms chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear." See, God is the one that prepares the heart. Psalm chapter 57, verse 7 says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise." See, man, he's in your heart. You don't have to look far to find Christ. If you have to look far to find Christ in crises, you know what? You really need to go back to the drawing board and see if you ever knew him in the first place. Because he isn't in you contingent upon the things that you have. He doesn't reside in you contingent upon things going the way you think they ought to go. No, never has been that way. Psalm chapter 112, verse 7 says, "He will not be afraid of evil tidings." Why? "His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." Is your heart steadfast, trusting in the Lord? All right, you're going to lose that house. You're going to lose it. Wait a minute. Can I make it real? All right. Doggone it. You've lost the house. You better stop looking at this mess as your God. All right. Your job played out. Don't be getting mad at Mr. Boss, man. He can't help it. He got a family to feed too. He's not going to throw all his stuff away from you. But has Christ played out? That's what I want to know. You still going to church? You still going to Bible study? You still going to the small study groups, listening to your Bible study leader? No. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, look at what Hannah said. "Ladies, listen to this. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." Is that your testimony today? Oh, don't be telling me you can't find Christ in this crisis. If he is in your heart, there will be some resolve. There will be some resolve. We find this pattern all throughout Scripture in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 7. Come on, turn the pages. Turn the pages. Use your Bible. Mark it down. Mark it down. Mark it down. You don't have enough Bible study. Zechariah 10 and 7. Those of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man. And now look what it says in the second part of verse 7. And their heart shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad, and their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. You know how it is when you had a couple of glasses of wine and you had a wedding party and you say, oh, yes, 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 yes. Your heart is rejoicing in God because of PJ, have you lost your mind? No, I'm happy in Jesus right now in the Lucy Coleman studio. God builds up the yin yang, not even concerned about it because you know what? 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61 tells me something else. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord your God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. In other words, I don't care what's going on. No, no, no. You can't go back to slinging that dope, brothers. No, you can't go. Yeah, I know somebody came to you and said that they got a couple of pounds of marijuana. You living in the inner cities. I know how it is, brother. Kids are crying. They want some peanut butter and biscuits and whatnot. And you can't find no work nowhere. I know how it is, brother. You said, John, come on, man. You know how it is, man. The streets are calling me. Look what God says. Let your heart, therefore, be loyal to the Lord, our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Come on, brothers. Come on. Come on, John. You can't say, come on. You got a job a little bit. You getting paid. Come on, brothers. Stop it. Stop it. Come on. The only reason that God gave me that job is because I got to keep money in here so I can help you, man, because you ain't got no decent pastor. He pimping you out there. He's trying to get you to give all your money to him. That's why you ain't got no money right now, because you've been giving all that money to him. You've been hearing about these big church foreclosures. You heard about, you know, that pimp Weeks and his church. And all this stuff, foreclosing on these mega churches. They ought to foreclose on all of them. You folk need to keep your money in your pocketbook instead of taking it up there, giving it to that pimp. I had a preacher called me and told me when he get here, he going to whip my behind. That's what he told me. He said, you didn't have no business talking about me like that. I said, you going to do what? He said, when I come here, I'm going to knock you out. To talking about me like that. I said, man, will you come on and get your best shot in? I'm telling you. People done went nuts. Why? Because I'm knocking off some of that money that he need to, that hell house over there. And the preacher didn't need it in the first place. Never needed that mess. I'm telling you, the preacher had a church right in the middle of the inner city where it should have been, helping them people across the street from the church in the projects. Ain't gonna move way out in the suburbs and build something out there looking like the Taj Mahal in the middle of a stupid desert. Why? Because all the people with the new fancy housing tracks and everything, well, I'm gonna get this money. Now the economy is stopped. These people's jobs are falling off. These folk ain't gonna keep that mess going. Ain't nobody gonna keep no mess like that. But how's your heart? Is your heart messed up? Is your heart messed up? Look at Psalms 101, verse 2. Psalms 101, verse 2. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That's where you find Jesus, when you are walking wisely in a perfect way. No, sister, don't get out there and start pimping again, pimping yourself. No, no, no. Oh, no, I know how to make some money for my babies. God gave me some stuff and I'm going to use it. Let me tell you something, sister. You had better not forget the mercies of God. The mercies of God. He wants us to live in an upright way. Psalm 97, verse 11. It says, light is shown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. You see, when you're a righteous person living for God, that's where you find Jesus. You find him in a righteous life, not a self-righteous life. PJ is not a self-righteous man. PJ is just a man that's just going to tell you like a T.I. is. I can't help myself. Psalm 125, verse 4 says, do good, O Lord, to those who are good. Oh, I like what the psalmist says. Now, the implication if those are not doing good, then you can bring some retribution on them. Ah, God's children having retribution brought on them. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their what? In their hearts. That's where you find Jesus, because you will not be able to do good unless Christ is there. Where is Christ in the time of crisis? He's supposed to be embedded in your heart. If I were a Navy medic in the medical corps, I would be embedded with the Marines. Since I am a Christian, Christ is embedded with me. You get it? You get it? Psalms chapter 73, verse 1. Isn't this a wonderful time just to open up your... Where can I find Christ during time of crisis? You can find him in your heart. Psalm 73, 1 says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart." You see, Jesus put it this way, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, how are you the pure in heart? You are only the pure in heart when Christ is in your heart. That's where you're going to find him in a time of crises. Don't get this thing twisted. Don't get it twisted at all. Psalm 24, 4 says, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." Stop listening to these dudes that call themselves your pastor, who does not have your best heart, your best economy at their heart. If they're trying to build their castles on the sand, that means that there's no foundation to that. There's none. And many of you are going to see, you know, just like your houses are being foreclosed, they're going to start foreclosing because God isn't. Man, you know what? I was at one of my son's website, and I want to encourage you to go to this website. You go to my webpage, and you scroll down, and it says The Difference Maker. That's a brand new website by Carsten Miller. And when you go to The Difference Maker, he has a video clip on there, which, as a matter of fact, let me go to it right now. But he has a video clip on there which really shows an interesting clip of Jamal Bryant. He says Baltimore, Maryland is now big on TBN. And when you look at that clip of what he is saying about the Bible and see how people are looking at him amazed, number one, the man is a disgusting looking person, but and maybe I shouldn't say that, right? I'm just saying that when I see that, when I go to the website and I see that picture and I say, "Oh my God, how can anybody follow this cat?" And just listening to him talk. But then when you play the video clip, all these black women standing up hoorahing behind this idiot. I know I don't look that good either with my gray hair. I'm looking like Saint Nick on a burnout day. But, well, you know, what can I say? You know, he ain't supposed to be looking good to me anyhow. But I want to thank Carsten. And if you really want to see a nice young man trying to teach Bible in his own way, even over YouTube, look at Carsten Miller. Pray for him. Carsten comes out of a background where he was in a church where they tried to tell him that he could prophesy success and prophecy in his life. He was in that mess. He was in that mess deep, man. And believe in all that superficial, ignoramus stuff. Then he got in touch with somebody that got some sense. And that's why he's one of my dearest friends, and I have him attached to my website. Pray for Carsten Miller. We're talking about where do you find Jesus in a time of crisis? Oh, you're going to find him when you go to olivetree.com. That's Miguel Soto's website. Now, when you go to Miguel Soto, I've been to his home there in Omaha, Nebraska, twice, bringing some basic things. And Miguel is a fine Christian man. Started that website, and you should read his little article about the purpose of his website here. He gives you the purpose, and he quotes Scripture. Starts off with Scripture, talking about to preach the word of life. God has his children all over the country. That's why I really appreciate a lot of you coming to my website, because you can go to these websites and find out an awful lot. Cry Aloud. Now, that's Brother Bean's website. Is your pastor all about money? Oh, yeah. You should look at the video clip that Harry has on his website. Wonderful website. Articles. Can your pastor pray for you? That's another article. Misplaced passion during the election. I mean, this is just wonderful articles of men of God. Ladies, I'd like to see a little bit more websites out of you coming up. Just put, oh, and of course, pray for Melvin Jones in Pulpit Pimps. He starts off his article here with Dear Diary, Juanita has developed a new money-making idea. Well, of course, these female pimps, all of them do. And see, they just keep doing it over and over and over. There's one video blog that has something out on Juanita where she is praying and says, bring them back to me, bring them back to me. She sounds like a demon person trying to get the captive souls back into her money-hungry, whorish grips of depravity. And when you think about when she first got started and T.D. Jakes has her under his so-called cover, that's a cover of Satan himself. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to know that these people, listen, and these people are not in crises that I just mentioned. These people are not in crises. Oh, they are. Their soul is in jeopardy. Don't get me wrong. Please don't get it twisted. These people are not headed for heaven. No, they are not headed to heaven. You want to know who's headed for heaven? Just tap into that little thing on my website that says the friends page. And you can see the friends and the family page. These are the people that are going to heaven because these people have sacrificed over and over and over again for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful to God for friends like that. See, PJ has an awful lot of friends that he can call his friends even now, even during difficult times. Where are you going to find Christ? And I don't know. As I scroll down this page and I just look at the pictures and I see, my goodness, I haven't been to this page in a while. But just as I scroll down and look at these pictures and think about the relationships that I've had with these people over the years, one of the finest pictures on this page is me standing there with all of the kids when I was up in Washington State when I did that conference up there a number of years ago. Just had a wonderful time. And these are the kinds of, to man, look at that picture of me performing the wedding of one of my students there. Man, Rudy. Rudy would sit in that class and take theology with me. We just had a great time. And when he married Natalie, he said, Pastor John, I wouldn't have anyone else perform the wedding but you. And it was such a privilege to do that out there on that beautiful day in Southern California as I performed that wedding. See, these are the things. See, I have Christ in my heart. When I look at the Perot family here, above that, in England, man, finding a good Bible study network just to take your family into. It's not about the big churches. It's about finding somebody faithful. Where are you going to find Christ in a time of crises? Oh, you find him. You find him. Now, why can't we find Christ in our hearts most of the time? Well, look at Psalms chapter 34, verse 18. It says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. See, you can't find Christ in a time of crises because you don't have a broken and contrite heart. You don't have that. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. Now, what this is your heart has to be broken when you think about how you have failed God, how you have come against his plans in your life. Your disposition has to be of such. Oh, and if I miss mentioning anybody else on my, of course, I got to mention the Reformed kid in England. This young man is, he is going to be powerful for God as he continues to stay in the Word, because at the age where he is listening to more truth from God's Word than a lot of young people his age. And he listens astutely to the people that are bringing the Word. And I thank God for what he does. Oh, I didn't see this, but he has a little clip here from Dr. James White. That's interesting. And I like White there in his study. It's, you know, the pastor, the apologist, is going to have his books all around him, and he's going to cover himself. I'm going to have to listen to James's things here, so I'm going to have to. But check out some of these websites here. Oh, YouTube clip of the head of Barack Obama and a fetus in the womb. And I like what he says. Will you pray for Mr. Obama? Yes, I do still think that he is guilty of murder by implication of Romans 1:32. Say it like it is, young Calvinist. Yes, I love that. He doesn't have a problem of finding Christ. Why do we? And let me tell you something. I think that during the ages to come in America, that many more people are going to find Christ, because they're going to, when they find themselves in crises, is where the real Christ shows up. That is what made America great in the past. In the present, it doesn't seem to be doing any good. But in the future, that is what's going to ripen us. Look for Christ deep down in your heart. The Word is full. I mean, I have hundreds of other scriptures, but I like Psalm 119, 161. He says, "Do not keep silent, O God of my praise." See, "for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful people have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue." That's perplexity. "They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers. But I give myself to prayer. Thus, they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set a wicked man over him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty, and let his prayer become a sin." Listen to the psalmist talking to God. "Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and let his wife a widow. Let his children continuously be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from their desolate places. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to him, nor let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of the fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be continually before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and the needy man, that they might even slay the broken in heart, as his love cursed. So let it be to him." Let me stop right there. Here the psalmist is asking for a judgment upon the person that comes against the righteous. And you may say, "Well, that's a pretty cruel prayer for someone to pray for somebody." No, that's a prayer of someone that has put judgment in God's hands. See, because judgment is going to come on a lot of people in this country, especially those that have taken advantage of other people in the poorest kind of way, because this taking of advantage of the people has, I think, spread around to more people in this society than ever. Ramey sent me an email today And in the email, it said that, man, can you believe this? That more people in America know more about Dancing with the Stars and who those people are than what the Constitution of the United States says and anything about Congress, the legislature, and how. And I know that to be true because I asked some of the students in my classroom about legislative processes in the government that they taught me in school when I was a kid. People don't know that now. That's why they say, you know, man, let me end up with this. You know, Obama had a lot of people voting for him, but most of the people voting for him, these youngsters voting for him, know nothing about constitutional rights. They just voted for him because he was a media performer. And he happened to be a very popular one at that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to end this little web clip right here because I think that's enough to show you how to find Christ in the time of crises. I hope that this webcast has been beneficial to you. Hope that it has encouraged you to look at Christ in a way that you should have been looking for him in the first place. Don't become weary and say, where are you, God? I'm losing my house. He's in the same place he was when he lost his son on Calvary. Where are you, Lord? I lost my job. He would say to you, what did my son say to me when he was in Gethsemane and he was losing power? He said, not my will, but thine be done. Is that your claim to fame, Christians? Is it his will being done? Or are you so busy trying to fulfill your own? Now, this is Pastor John doing what he always does very best, challenging you to stay into the Word and to answer the question, where is Christ in time of your crisis? God bless you. Stay in the Word. Music is performed by my godson, Timothy Armstrong.